Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Joe Rexford, how are we doing? Did we get more sleep last night? What's the report?
Yeah, but you know, it's, this time of year is tough because it's like, ooh, man, Dallas and Vegas is kind of looking good. I kind of don't want to, and also Lakers Nuggets, Lakers are actually making a run, you know, so, but yeah, definitely more than the night before and more than we'll get tonight.
A very depressing thought is that 12 hours from now, we will still be about 3 hours and 20 minutes away from the game actually starting. I think it's in all actuality, like a 9:18, 9:20 puck drop tonight for some reason. So that'll be fun. Really looking forward to that. Nick Keyser, how are we doing? Good morning.
Yeah, good. I'm not as excited either, but I will have my nap and a cup of coffee or two later on this evening after dinner. So there you go.
There you go. Got a lot to get to on the program today. We will, of course, break down game 2 between the Predators and the Canucks coming up tonight in Vancouver. The NFL draft a couple of days away now. So, Joe, we are 2 days away from the first round of the NFL draft. So we'll get into that as well. Caroline Fenton will join us at 7 o'clock for her weekly visit. And Adam Vingan at 8 o'clock, who will join us every Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock throughout the playoffs here, talking some hockey. So looking forward to that, with Adam coming up at 8 o'clock later today. In the meantime, as always, we'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, after breaking down game 1 yesterday, game 2 is tonight for the Predators. Still an opportunity in front of them to go on the road, win a game, and come back home with a series evened up. If you lose tonight, again, the series is not over, but an 0-2 hole is not really where you want to be, where you're basically forcing yourself to win both games at home to really have a statistical likelihood of winning the series at that point. So a big game tonight for the Predators, a big game that they need to win tonight. Your thoughts on how you feel about the Predators heading into game 2 and what you expect to see from them tonight in Vancouver?
Yeah, well, I think they can play a lot better. I think Vancouver can too. And I think the one thing that I'd be really surprised if we don't see is a more impactful Philip Forsberg. Look, some mistakes were made last game. So obviously UC Saros, the best version of him is needed. And Alex Carrier, Carrier-Lazon made the big mistake. You want to clean up the mistakes and things like that. Mistakes are still going to happen. Saros, I'm very interested. They're going to need some amazing performances from him, and they did not get amazing in game 1. But the one thing that I really would expect is for Forsberg to assert himself and make things happen a lot more in this game than he did in the first one.
I would agree, and I'd be disappointed if that's not the case. And the Saros part of this, like this is a game where they're going to need him to be great. And they need him. I mean, to me, like if you're in terms of winning the series, Joe, the giving up bad goals quota, you've reached it at this point. If you see Saros, there doesn't need to be any more of that. And then, It doesn't mean that you have to go out there and pitch a shutout every night. And Vancouver's gifted enough offensively where they're going to score someone. I mean, it's going to happen. And they're a good offensive team. You got to know that. You got to deal with that if you're the Predators. But the bad goals can't happen. So I think if I had to rank it, I'm probably most interested to see UC Saros and his response to what that means. And then I put Forsberg after that. I feel pretty good about Forsberg. Like, there's the body of work suggests to me that Forsberg is not going to have two bad games in a row. Like, I, you know, he was bad in game one, and I would expect him to have a little bit of juice to him tonight in game two. And then the question is, can that juice turn into production, right? Like, they, you know, he scored 48 in the regular season. They need him to score multiple goals in this series. Like, if they're going to have enough offense to keep up with Vancouver, then Philip Forsberg is going to have to be a big part of it. So 5-on-5 tonight, can that line generate some offense? Clearly, Vancouver shut them down pretty effectively in game one. And I wonder with a day off, you know, kind of looking at what Vancouver did to them in game one, what adjustments did Andrew Burnett make? What adjustments did those players make to try to be more effective in game two? And to me, that starts 5-on-5. Like, they got to be more dangerous on the power play, but 5-on-5, those guys have to kick it up another notch.
Yeah, no question. And I'm with you. I mean, I'm probably most, I guess, confident that Forsberg will respond, and that's going to be really interesting, like you said, to see the adjustments. But most interested, I would agree, is Saros. You know, like that's, it's just such a critical game for him. And again, it's one bad goal. You know, I mean, it happens to goalies. I mean, look at some of these other series. I mean, the puck is just flying into the netting, man. You know, but that's just the reality is that's what they need from him. And you know, the 3-8 thing is a little bit, I'd say, to me, a little bit overblown, but still, like, you need to see one of those games. It's been 3 years. And I'm trying to think back to the Carolina series. I think the best game he had against the Carolina series, they lost, if I remember that correctly.
I believe that is correct.
You know, that was the one where I asked Hines about it, and he's like, "Hello? Who is this?"
Joe, is that you?
but he was really good, you know, throughout the series. He needs one of those games, and then for them to win it, you know, and just because, you know, like Pecorine had plenty of rough games in his career in the Stanley Cup playoffs too, you know, but he had a bunch of amazing ones that were wins. And you know, I think this would be the perfect time for UC Saros to produce one of those.
Joel on the text line says, "We know Forsberg was skipping practice for a long time. Is he totally recovered from whatever injury he was nursing?" I don't know. I mean, I know that they practiced early in Nashville last week, and he did not practice. So, I mean, that tells me no. I mean, Barry Trotz says it's a cut. So there's a cut clearly that he's dealing with somewhere, and he did not practice. So they played last Monday. They were off Tuesday. They practiced Wednesday here, and he was not practicing then. And then by the next time they practiced, they were in Vancouver, and I couldn't tell you whether or not he practiced in Vancouver. So the last opportunity that he had to practice here in Nashville, he did not practice. I can tell you that. So clearly, I think still dealing with something.
Right, still dealing with something, but it's been a long time, and he's been – I mean, he's had many fantastic games.
Correct.
During this stretch of not practicing and still playing. So, yeah, it was Trotz or Brunet, right, who said basically, like, the rest of the season, this is going to be the situation.
Yeah, that was Brunet. Yeah.
Brunet, yeah. So, but I don't think that he doesn't seem to me to be, like, limited at all when we watch him play.
No, like, I think they basically are, when he's not practicing, wanting to do as much as they can not to aggravate it when it's not necessary to aggravate it. Like, that's what it is. But clearly he can play through it. I mean, look, he played through it for the last 2 months and put up a ridiculous amount of points. So I wouldn't be overly concerned unless there's something new that's happened that we just don't know about. I wouldn't be concerned about like the cut part of this that Barry Trotz laid out. He's clearly had a plan to deal with that. You know, to me, it just comes down to him playing better, being a little bit more aggressive, holding on to the puck. I mean, that was the weird part. And that's, Joe, well, I think why I have a lot of confidence. We don't see Philip Forsberg, you know, just kind of flubbing the puck around and turning it over a lot in the regular season. Like, I would assume tonight he's going to have a little bit better handle on the puck and that he's going to make some better decisions. And, you know, they need him playing aggressively. And I talked about it yesterday. They struggled in game one, in my opinion, to get to the middle. And he is one of the guys that is best equipped to do that. You know, Riley obviously can get there, but Forsberg, you've talked about that power forward game. We need to see that power forward game tonight. Like, he's got to put his head down, get to the middle of the ice, and use his size and let his skill take over from there.
Right. And that's where it's like you can't, you know, like if you're a goalie, which I think is the most interesting individual storyline tonight, well, you have to stop pucks and, you know, it comes to you and we'll see when it happens. But like Forsberg and how he can impact the game, some of that is just like your determination to do it, you know, to go to those hard areas more often. And I think we'll see that for sure. And that alone to me should make some kind of a difference.
So I got a text that says, according to Chicken Little, which is Stillman, which I guess is a new nickname for Stillman, it's pointless to break the game or series down. It's over. It's time to bust them up.
Did he say that?
He picked Preds in six on Friday. And then yesterday at the beginning of the show, I heard him talking about, you know, I said Friday that the winner of game one will win the series and the Predators lost game one. So the series, I think, is over. I think the Predators are going to lose the series. So he did say that. So there you go. A quick reversal.
Well, there's something else he said that I'll get into later. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that one, though.
We're off and running. Go ahead.
He's such a wonderful provider of content for us.
He is. We're off and running today. We'll take your thoughts on game two for the Predators coming up tonight in Vancouver, 615-737-1025. We'll get into the NFL draft a little bit later this hour as well. All that coming up. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. Game two, late tonight, between the Predators and the Vancouver Canucks. Preds will try to even up the series at one. So, Joe, as you look at the map of this series, I think you had Vancouver in seven heading into it. I had the Nashville in seven heading into it. I think both of us had a split on the road to start things off in games one and two. So is it as simple as if you win tonight, you give yourself a nice, solid chance if you're the Predators, and if you lose, it's probably asking too much after that. I mean, you're down 0-2 if you lose this tonight. You're coming back home for home ice advantage. I've seen several Nashville Predators series where they lose the first two on the road, they come back home and tie it up at two, and then you got a best of three after that. But we've talked about it. They've never won a series going that route. Like, they've never won a series where they've lost game one. They've certainly never won a series where they've lost games one and two and had to come back after that. So is it as simple to you, Joe, as the Predators, if they want to win this series, they need to come away with a win tonight?
Well, I mean, they've also never won a series where they won game two after losing game one. So
yes.
It's over, actually. No,
it's done.
Yeah, no, it's big. You put yourself in a spot coming home where you have to win both. And you feel like you have to win both. And if the Preds win tonight, they're still going to have that pressure of, okay, now, you know, you need to take advantage at home. But yeah, it's, if you look at the percentages, I think is it 68%? Is that what it is? Just game one alone?
That's correct.
I think that's right. So
yep.
I don't know what the number is for winning games one and two, but I bet you it's above 80.
I would have to assume so. Yeah.
So just by the probabilities, it's a big deal. But Yeah, I think it's just a, it's a, they had game one, they didn't have it wrapped up, but they had it in good shape. With, you know, when you have a lead in the third period, and especially the way the Preds have been closing out games, that's a good spot to be in. And then it just went poof, you know, poof on you. So it's a huge thing to just respond to me, you know, because again, both teams are telling themselves we can play a lot better than that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, just psychologically, you're asking yourself now to beat a team 4 out of 5 games, a team that does have some advantages on you, that has had a better season than you, that I would argue is more talented top to bottom in its lineup. You know, that's such a, if you look at it that way, having to win 4 out of 5, that's so daunting. You know, you even it up and okay, best of 5 series and you get to go home. There's just such a huge difference in those two outcomes.
There's a massive difference. And like you said, I mean, the prospect of having to come back home, and not only basically have to win both home games, but 4 out of 5 overall. Like, that means you, I mean, it's a big deal for the Predators to get this done tonight. And at some point, we know this, like at some point, if you're going to win this series, you're going to have to win on the road in Vancouver at least one time. Like it has to be done. So you got to find a way to break through that if you're the Predators. I mean, look, if I'm not a huge believer in regular season series meaning a whole lot when it comes to playoffs, but there is the fact that, you know, Vancouver did go 3-0 against you this year, and now with the playoff game, they're 4-0 against you. So, I mean, the evidence would tell you it's not a great matchup for the Predators right now, and it's up to you to find a way to correct that tonight. You know, part of it too, you know, we've talked about Forsberg, Saros, and those are two of the key drivers tonight, but it's also like when you there are moments in the game, and there were a couple of these moments in game one where they had an opportunity to build on the lead and they couldn't do it, right? I mean, they were up 1-0. They were up 2-1. And I remember thinking, like, Ryan O'Reilly won a puck battle along the boards. He got tripped. Preds went on the power play with like 15 minutes left in the third when they were up 2-1. And that's a big opportunity there on the road to create a little separation, get up 2 goals. And then if you score there, the game's totally different, right? I mean, it's just a totally different feel. It's a totally different potentially outcome as to what happens there. And it's not just recognizing those moments, but it's finding a way to have somebody come through for you in those moments, whether it is Forsberg, Yossi, O'Reilly, whoever it is. Like, there are moments in every playoff game where you've got a chance to swing the tide your way. And a lot of making deep playoff runs is who's able to step up in those moments. And look, they've got a couple guys I think can do it. Like Ryan O'Reilly, I think pretty clearly has got a little bit of a clutch gene in him. He scores some big goals, scores some clutch goals. He did it the other night in game one too, but you got to find a way to break through in those moments. And I think the Predators have shown that if they're on top of their game, they're not going to get run out of the building by anybody. Like, you're going to have a chance. You're going to be in it, and you're going to have a chance to come away with a win. How quickly can they get to their game tonight? Because I didn't feel like they ever really got there and sustained it 5-on-5 on Sunday. So it's about getting to your game and sustaining it as long as you can against this Vancouver team.
And then there's the question also of lineup. I mean, Brunette said what I guess I would have expected, you know, not basic, you know, not to leave the door open, but not make it. I didn't sound like he was going to do anything there, but he did. He was asked, I think Alex Doherty asked him, and
yeah,
he said, you know, it's a possibility. I mean, that would surprise me quite a bit, but you know, maybe just a little bit of a tweak, something that he sees that might give them a little, you know, a little bit better look. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I do feel like you've had such a stretch of Carrier Lauzon this year playing well and being really a key pairing. You know, I feel like you got to let them play through that. I think Cody Glass could be an interesting option at some point in this series, but I guess I'd be surprised if it happened right away.
I'd be surprised if it happened right away. Like, you know, Bevilier, I'm not seeing a ton from him, you know, and I'm not seeing really a ton from him the whole time. I mean, he's had a couple of moments where he's looked good. I mean, the play the other day Evangelista makes, again, you have to – it sounds nitpicky when I start saying stuff like this, but that's what the playoffs are. Like, the little details matter so much. And when you get a pass on your tape like that from Evangelista, it's not like it was a bad pass. It's about as good of a pass as you can get. Like, you have to – you got to lift that puck. You got to get the puck up where Demko can't slide across and make that save with his pad. Like, it's little details like that that matter. I don't think there's a huge difference between Bevilier and Glass, but I have wondered if Glass is sometimes the better option there. I'm interested to see if you see that today. Like, the other part of this, like, I would be surprised. I think more surprised if Fabro or somebody steps in for Carrier. I guess we'll see. I am interested to see if the Predators can win the physical battle tonight. I thought they got out physicaled in that game in game one. And look, Vancouver's a pretty heavy team, especially with a couple guys on their back end. Like, Tyler Myers is gigantic and Zadorov is gigantic and JT Miller's a stout guy. Like, they've got some, like, you know, Patterson's a big dude. So they got some big guys out there. So it's not like the Predators are going to go out there and just totally push the Canucks around. But I did think that, you know, if you were asking me who's the more physical team in game one, I think it was pretty clearly Vancouver. And you'd be looking for more of a wash or maybe a slight edge in your direction that way tonight if you're the Predators. I'm interested to see if they can kind of ramp things up a little bit physically.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, like, who does that for them? I will agree. You know, Mlesko said the other night, and I thought Kiefer Sherwood was a pest all night. I thought he really showed up in that game. Yep. But obviously, you hope that line, you know, you hope that line does more. And again, Lauzon's a big part of that too, you know, and has been all year. Like you said, I mean, counting up hits can be a little bit overrated, but he's a guy who has, some of them have been bone rattling, you know? So, I mean, make a little bit of a statement maybe.
I'll tell you who's a big part of that too. And, you know, not to keep harping on the guy, but that just shows you how important he is tonight. Like, Forsberg's a big part of that too, right? Like, he's a physical player. And when he's, you know, when he's got that reverse check going, or when he's lowering his head and dragging two guys with him to the net, like, that's part of being physical. It's not just finishing checks on the boards. It's not just, you know, laying people out in open ice. It's dragging people along with you. It's getting them in a position on the ice where they don't want to go to and opening things up for the rest of your team. So that's a big part of the game tonight, is, I think, really being honed in on being physically engaged if you're the Predators from the jump, and seeing where that takes you. I'm interested to see what that looks like tonight for them against Vancouver. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll switch gears, get a little bit into the NFL draft. Who are some teams at the top of the draft that could cause some chaos on Thursday night in the first round? Adam Vingan threw this out there the other day, and I think it's a really interesting question. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, I'm on tankathon.com. And they have a countdown. We are 2 days, 12 hours, 27 minutes, and 20 seconds away from the NFL draft. It's getting closer by the second, literally. I'm watching it count down here on tankathon.com. And Adam Vingan was on with us Friday, which, by the way, he'll be on with us at 8 o'clock today. And he threw out a really interesting question that I'd be interested to get your take on. As you're looking at the first round of the draft, and particularly towards the top, who are some teams that stand out to you that could really throw this thing into chaos and get things pretty spicy in the draft? And he asked Stillman about it Friday. His answer was New England. I think TD's answer was Arizona. As you look at the draft board, the way it's currently presented, and we know the six picks before the Titans are Chicago, Washington, New England, Arizona, LA, the Chargers, and the New York Giants. Who are some teams that come to mind and stick out to you, and they could be behind the Titans, that you think can make things pretty interesting from a chaotic standpoint on Thursday night when the draft gets underway?
Well, I know we're going to get to them, but then it's not the top of the draft, but I just want to say before we get into that, Our last mock draft among writers was yesterday. It'll publish tomorrow, and I don't know that I've ever been more excited for something with the incredible genius moves I made. I can't tell you about them right now, but
Wow.
my goodness, speaking of chaos.
GM
But
Joe.
I mean, wheeling and dealing, baby.
Yep, yet another shameless plug from Joe Rexroad.
There you go. But and that's so just a little hint. I mean, I look at those Bills, and man, I feel like they, how high will they be looking to go? That's the question. I just have a feeling some kind of trade up for a receiver is in their future. But as far as, top of the draft causing chaos, well, the one real interesting question, of course, beyond the four quarterback thing is the Chargers situation. Like, what are the Chargers going to do? Are the Chargers going to, are the Chargers, have they been looking to move down all along? Or, to me, man, they seem like a perfect team to, stick and take a receiver. They badly need more help there, I think, but I feel like they could be, along with like Arizona, very possibly to me moving out for someone to get JJ McCarthy. I think there's also that real chance that, that the Chargers move out of there too. So, then you've got, I mean, those are, I feel like there's some talk about the Patriots. I just would be kind of stunned if they don't take a quarterback here. They need one badly. I understand they need a lot, and now this is their first Belichick free draft. I saw Diana Rossini tweet yesterday, Jonathan Kraft is right in there with these personnel decisions. So we'll see if that's a good or bad thing,
Yeah.
for the Patriots. But certainly if they decide to move out of there, I guess that's some chaos.
I'll tell you one thing that I'm very interested to see whether or not they go quarterback, and that's the team right in front of the Titans, the Giants. Like they're in a really interesting spot. And we had Charles Robinson on last Thursday and we talked about that a little bit. Like if you're the Giants, you've signed Daniel Jones to this massive contract. He gets hurt last year. He's coming off an injury. He's been doing rehab this offseason. But I think, like, look, I remember when they gave Daniel Jones that contract. We talked about it on the show. And I was like, what are they doing? Like, I mean, it seems like an incredible amount of money for Daniel Jones, who I don't think is very good. And if they share what seems to be the general consensus right now, which is next year's quarterback class isn't very good. I mean, look, Joe, we were talking about this last year. This time last year, we were talking about everybody looking forward to this quarterback class, right? Like everybody knew that, Caleb Williams was coming, Drake May was coming, and we weren't talking about Jaden Daniels yet, and we weren't talking about a ton about JJ McCarthy, but those two in particular at the top, what we were talking about. The next year's draft, according to everybody you talk to, doesn't look to be very good at the quarterback part of this. So if you're a team like the Giants, who knows at some point, whether it's now or maybe next year, you would like to move on from the quarterback that you've signed, which I think they would. Do they want to get out ahead of that? Like, do they want to try to, is there somebody now that they really like that they want to move out ahead? And can they get them? Like, could they move up to four with Arizona? Could they move up to three with New England? I mean, I agree with you. Like, New England seems to me like they're pretty locked and loaded to take a quarterback here. But they do need a lot of stuff. They do need wide receiver. They do need left tackle. And could you trade back and get more picks? Would that be more appealing if you're New England there? So the Giants at six, I don't know that I would expect them to take a quarterback, but I just wonder how much their evaluation of Daniel Jones, number one, and number two, the way they view quarterbacks moving forward here, both in the back part of this draft in the first round, and then also in next year's draft, could that influence them maybe taking a quarterback when people aren't really expecting them to do it?
Yeah, no, they're definitely one of the wild cards. I think everybody would be very surprised if it doesn't go Caleb Williams, then Jaden Daniels. And then I'm going to be really surprised if it doesn't then go Drake May to the Patriots. If that's the case, They don't. And again, the Patriots would be the one team. I just like, so the Patriots, what it would be a season of Jacoby Brissett. And I mean, they've forced their fans to watch horrific offense two straight years. They made Matt Patricia like some sort of offensive coordinator. And so now you're going to say, hey, how about a little Jacoby Brissett? And we'll put some nice pieces around him. I mean, I mean, just from a business and customer standpoint, God, I hate that idea for them.
I know.
Get Drake May. You know, if you, it's kind of a gift to me if Drake May, and I don't know who's going to be better. I have no idea. I mean, Jaden Daniels may be end up better than him, but a prospect of his quality, of Drake May's quality, to be able to get him at three, I think that's crazy to pass that up. So if I'm going to operate on the assumption that's how it goes, Williams, Daniels, May, that's the whole thing with the Giants is, okay, well, what do you think about specifically J.J. McCarthy? And are you willing to give up draft capital and move on from your highly paid quarterback and to do it for J.J. McCarthy? I mean, that's a lot, man. You know, and they may have a chance to draft him at six anyway. But the only way to guarantee that you're going to get him would be to go move up and take and trade with Arizona.
Well, here's one thing. You bring up Arizona, and everybody is like assuming that they're going to trade out and that somebody's coming in to get J.J. McCarthy at number four. And maybe that's the way it goes down. But like, you know, Arizona was at three last year and they traded out with Houston. Like at some point, if I'm an Arizona fan, I'm like, hey, why don't you guys stick it where you're at and take one of these elite players rather than just being worried about getting more picks, right? Like take somebody at four, take your best wide receiver, whatever it is, and go from there. Like if I'm a Cardinals fan at some point, I'd be like, yeah, it's great. Like the idea of trading more picks we like, but I also like elite players. Like why don't you trade and get an elite player or stick and get an elite player at number four? I'm interested to see like if all the Arizona stuff, like there's so much smoke on Arizona moving out of there that I almost wonder if it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean, it's almost the same idea with the Patriots fan. If I'm a Patriots fan, I'm just screaming Drake May. And if I'm a Cardinals fan, I'm screaming Marvin Harrison Jr. Right. And I will say there's another, speaking of the Athletic, Bruce Feldman, friend of the show, has another confidential out, okay? So here's the lead quote is, quote, Marvin Harrison's not number one to me. This is a veteran NFL receivers coach. But it's another example of some people think, you know, he's got neighbors ahead of Harrison. So there definitely is some of that. If I'm if I'm an Arizona fan, well, fine, neighbors then. But, you know, one of those guys, you know, difference-making receiver.
615-737-1025. Our phone number is 615-737-1025. Who are some teams that you feel like could cause some chaos in the top part of the NFL draft? And there's one team that we'll get to coming up next that I think could really make this interesting. We'll take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best 2024 NFL draft coverage on 1025-1063 The Game this Thursday. Stop by Twin Peaks in Madison at 6 o'clock for live coverage of the NFL draft. The best draft coverage as we break down each pick at the home of the 29 Degree Beer. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, ESPN Bet, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We are taking your thoughts on the NFL draft on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get her thoughts on the draft and the Nashville Predators as well, so looking forward to that. Joe, you mentioned the Bills. So the Bills, I agree with you, incredibly intriguing in this process. They've traded away Diggs. Gabe Davis is gone. So you look at their receiving room right now, and there's just not a ton there. Clearly, Josh Allen needs some weapons. And right now, Buffalo is at 28. So could they move up from 28 into the top part of the draft where they could take one of these three receivers that we've talked about? Now, look, there's Brian Thomas is there. I mean, there are other options at wide receiver where Buffalo, if they want a receiver, they don't necessarily have to trade up super high to where they're in the Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, you know, Marvin Harrison discussion. But maybe they want one of those three guys, and they love those three options there. And if so, Joe, how far up would they have to trade? Like, could they go – I saw some yesterday, some people saying Chicago at 9. After, you know, Chicago makes their first pick at number 1, could the Bills trade with Chicago at 9 and still end up with one of those guys? Could the Titans be involved with that? Could they trade up to 7 with back with Buffalo and be involved in things that way? I guess I would be pretty surprised, given the state of their roster right now and the window to win that I think they feel like they're in with Josh Allen. I'd be surprised if Buffalo just hung around there at number 28 and they didn't do some serious maneuvering to at least try to move up in the draft and take a wide receiver.
I would agree. You know, it's been just exhaustive talk about all these prospects, including the receivers, but I must say, I've just been reading through that Feldman story, and it's fascinating to get some of these wide receiver coaches and scouts on these receivers. I tell you what, it's not just like one rando who has Nabers ahead of Harrison, which is really, really interesting. But also there's one person says, you know, some have it like Harrison, Nabers, then a little gap in a Dunze. But someone was like, and this is how we've kind of been talking about it, Harrison, Nabers, a Dunze, then a pretty big gap after that. So, you know, how important. I mean, there's a lot of nitpicking that can be done with everybody. There's a lot of other good receivers, but I'm reading all this nitpicking about Brian Thomas and Xavier Worthy and, you know, Keon Coleman slow and all this stuff, you know. And it's like, okay, so how much of a premium do you put on those top three guys? You know, and if that's if you're the Bills, like you said, yeah, you can stick at 28 and you can get a, you know, a Pearsall maybe, or, you know, a McConkey, Malachi Corley. I mean, you can get somebody good, but how much of a priority is it to go get one of those guys for Josh Allen? I would argue, you know, it would be worth really investigating. So if that's the case, also, let's say, go ahead.
Well, if you're Buffalo too, though, like knowing that if you're moving up in let's say it's either the Titans at 7 or the Bears at 9, either one, I mean, you're giving up a lot to go do that. So are you willing to give up the price that's going to be required in order to go get those players?
Right. So let's say you are Rand Carthon, and you get a call, and the Bills are asking to go from 28 to 7. You're going to bump down to 28. What are you taking? What are you demanding? What must you have to drop down 21 spots?
Well, I've got to pick up probably an additional second-round pick this year, along with the 28 with the pick swap in the first round. I need probably an additional third-round pick this year.
And I need a first round. I can tell you they don't have one, just like the Titans.
Well, there you go. Well, then we're already running into an issue. And then I definitely need a first rounder next year. Like that's got to be a part of it too. And that's just kind of like the off the top of my head framework for it. But without at least another second round pick this year and a first round pick next year, I'm not even considering it. And I would probably ask for more than that. But those are just kind of like the two off the top of my head basic framework parts of the deal that if you don't have those two things, I'm not interested.
I'm with you. Gotta have that second, and their second is 60. Gotta have that first round pick next year. And then a little bit more. But yeah, they actually don't have a third or fourth. So they do have they have 2/5 this year.
Okay.
So but yes, I agree. Like, you got to pick up another second, and you got to have their first. And look, you know, you get their first, you know, it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be a top 10 pick. That'd be shocking. But I mean, you know, if you can, and then it all comes down to, if you're the Titans, if that opportunity came to you, then you have to look at, okay, if you move there, then, and you can't get out of there, and you can't like move up from there, which of course is a possibility. Even think about the Titans in 2016 when they moved back up to get Jack Conklin. But If not, then what at 28? So then you'd be looking at 28, 38, 60 would be your picks.
Right.
What can you do with that to greatly improve your team this year?
Well, and then the left tackle part of it, like, that's when you start getting into, like, Patrick Paul territory. So which – how do you feel about him? And we've talked about that, you know, going the other route of going, like, wide receiver or something else at 7 and then picking another tackle at 38. But, like, could you – if you went that route with Buffalo and you traded back, that's why, like, the price would have to be so high to consider that, because you're then passing up on some elite player, like whether it's all neighbors do, whoever it is, you're passing up on an elite player to do that. So, like, I have no problem with Rand Carthon considering that if Buffalo calls them, but you better make that price super high.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, and obviously, you know, and there's, you know, you go by the chart and you add it up and you need to be right around what the points tell you it would be, you know, when all things are said and done. But yeah, you are forfeiting the opportunity, the rare opportunity. Well, what you hope is a rare opportunity. I mean, for teams like the Cleveland Browns, it's like it used to be an annual opportunity, but in the Detroit Lions. But what you hope is a rare opportunity to get a premium prospect. So you got to 28, 38, and 60, be able to address your needs, feel like you can still get really good players. Or, you know, now you're kind of monitoring the draft and maybe there's still someone that you want that you feel like you can, that you covet, that you can get in the middle of the draft, and then you can use some of that draft capital to do that.
James on the text line says, look around the league. You don't have to draft the player in the first round for him to become a stud. There are diamonds in other rounds. And that is true. Like, I mean, you can find players throughout the league that have been drafted fourth round, fifth round, sixth round that are really good players and are star-level players in the league. I would say, though, there are also a ton of first-round picks who are just elite players, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. There's a lot of first-round picks that are elite players, and go through the history of players the Titans have drafted in the first round. It's not a great list. Like, if you go and look at it, and I'm talking the entirety of their franchise, there are some that are really good, obviously. But overall, like, it's not a great list. Like, you'd like a better hit rate than they've had in the first round. And while I'm with James that you can certainly find stud players throughout the league in other rounds, there's a lot of excellent first round picks throughout the league too that are foundational cornerstone players of their franchise. And that's what you've got to come away with here if you're the Titans.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, look, when it comes down to it, there's just fewer questions and more, it's just a higher probability of excellence, you know, when you get to the top of these drafts. But you're right. I mean, first round picks for the Titans, who's been truly great. You know, obviously Jeff Simmons fits the bill in the recent years. Jack Conklin, you know, was a very good pick. Lawan worked out. And now I'm already beyond a decade. I mean, goodness, you have to go back to, no, I mean, Derek Morgan in 2010, you know, was a good player. Certainly Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
Michael Griffin. All the quarterbacks have been, you know, they've been not good, and that's the thing. That's why you hope, if we're going with history, it's like the Preds not winning a series when they lose the first game. You hope maybe the Titans, the fact that Levis is a second-round pick, increases the chances of him him excelling. But, yeah, I mean, Haynesworth, there was a great one. You're going back to 02 now.
Exactly. Like, the list is not great. But there are a couple of guys in there that they've taken that were really good, but you certainly want a higher hit rate on your first-round picks if you're the Titans. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on UT Martin with pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Vanderbilt baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.